Big thanks to RX Bar for supporting Current Geek. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar with no BS. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/currentgeek and use the promo code Current Geek. That's rxbar.com/currentgeek and the promo code Current Geek.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello and welcome to the meetings of the greetings of the no greetings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars. Man, we're here to talk about nerd stuff. That's what this is. Hey, I'm Scott Johnson with Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom Merritt.
Hello, Scott Johnson. This is the best and only way I ever want to kick off a weekend is doing Current Geek with you and our fabulous guests. I'm so excited.
That's right. Weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars.
There you go.
Nailed it. Only been doing this for 3 years or whatever. Hey, it's good to be here. We do have guests, like you said. Let's start with a returning regular. Right. At least she's been pretty returning and pretty regular for a while. It's Jenny Josephson, ladies and gentlemen. Hello.
That's so accurate. I am.
Yes, that is you. It's good to have you back. It's been too long. What have you been doing?
I know. I've been producing stuff for Marketplace, and I've been talking about Star Wars, and I've been just muddling through the magic of endless peak TV.
Oh, well, good. Well, we're extremely happy to have you here. We will make up for lost time. Also joining us, a brand new guest. You know her as an actor. It's Julia Parker. We just saw her in last year's American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. In fact, I just saw that. And you played the wife of John Travolta, which is a big deal, I think, in Hollywood. But anyway, it's so good to have you here, everybody. Julia Parker, welcome to the show.
Yay! Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's really good to have you here. Thank you for being here. All right, real quick before we move on to our stories and stuff, that had to be a little intense, right? Working with all those different actors from, you know, various eras and some pretty successful, highly regarded people. That must have been something else.
It was a lot of fun, but it isn't exactly as wonderful as you're painting it, because when they bring you in to do something like a co-star role, like I had, you go in and you like barely see anybody. But it was really nice to work with Ryan Murphy and some of the amazing writers and directors. But I really... they put you in a room, you actually do a whole thing, and you don't get to see hardly anybody.
Oh, bummer. So, well, let's see.
Not as exciting.
This is good. We learn how the sausage is made here on Current Geek.
This is the consistent thing from people who work as an actor in television and movies, is it's never as glamorous as it looks in the end product.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Which is funny, because I always come, whenever we have guests who are actors on the show, I always come to them with the same bright-eyed, innocent question of, what's it like to work with so-and-so? And every time the answer is similar to yours. So one of these days, yeah, I'll learn my lesson. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here. Let's dive into these stories. Thank We've you. Got a jump bunch of them. Tom, let's do it.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what happened since we last
spoke? Let me tell you what's glamorous. Credit information being stolen.
Oh.
No, there's nothing glamorous about this, but this was one of the top ones on the subreddit. Y'all wanted us to talk about this. Last week, Equifax announced that attackers had accessed the personal information of 143 million U.S. residents and even a few U.K. and Canadian residents in there as well. Records included names, addresses, social security numbers, birth dates, and in some cases, driver's license and credit card numbers. All the things you need to steal someone's identity. On Wednesday, Equifax admitted that a vulnerability in the Apache Struts web application framework was the cause. Apache Struts, it's the Apache web server, but a framework for making web applications. Vulnerability was patched by Apache in March, but the Equifax intrusion happened in mid-May. So there's a couple months there that it took them to get it patched and took them too long. Equifax is providing a free year of credit report monitoring to all U.S. residents. It will also allow free credit freezes until November 21st. But this is probably, I hesitate to ever say superlatives like this, but in my 12 years of covering technology, this may be the worst attack that I have ever seen, the worst breach that I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's a breach marked by other factors that sometimes aren't there. Sometimes a breach is just straight up a breach. Somebody figured out a way in despite all precautions or the best they could do at the time. But this also has a lot of shades of Equifax didn't plan ahead. They didn't patch on time. They weren't really interested in that. After the fact, they had a little tool that was supposed to tell you whether or not your stuff
was a nightmare.
It didn't work at all, or kind of maybe did for some and didn't for other people. So it was a big, huge mess. Here's what's interesting, though. I'm so, like, not a banker, credit report guy, any of that stuff. I don't get it. I don't follow it. I don't know what's going on with it. So hearing the name Equifax, I didn't know what that was. I'd never heard of it until this controversy. I thought it was like, I don't know, equal faxes.
You haven't rented as many houses as I have.
That's I really haven't. I haven't. I mean, and even in the buying process and the renting process when I was in apartments and stuff, that paperwork, I don't know what's on there. And like, I'm usually leaving it to the wind, and I shouldn't do that. But the point is, this thing really brought it to light, got me thinking about that kind of thing. We now live in an era where all our information can be in one place like this. That's a lot of eggs in one basket. And their tool said that I wasn't compromised, but my wife likely was, which I don't think makes any sense, because I don't know why she would be and I wouldn't be, because we kind of do everything together. But anyway, Jenny, your thoughts. I'm sure this was I know it was because I heard it, but Marketplace was all over this story. What's your take?
Yep. And just a little, I'm going to plug a lot on the show, but we're going to be talking about this on next Tuesday's Make Me Smart podcast in great detail. My personal bottom line is that I am incredibly fatalistic at this point about the safety of my data. It is all out there, and all of our data is all out there at some point, and it sucks. And the only thing you can do is be, who's the one that yells, constant vigilance? I can't remember who says that, but it's the bottom line is all you can do is just be a hawk on your stuff. If you want to like really freeze your credit, you can. But that is hard if you're like, I don't know, want to buy a house or something. And my overarching take is like, guys, just figure this out. There's like every genius in the world and they're trying to replace bodegas. And what they really should be doing is coming up with not us using our social security numbers on the internet.
Yeah. Really.
You would point. Be speaking of Alistair Mad-Eye Moody.
Yes. Thank you.
Wow. A Harry Potter reference. I like it. Julia, you work in a creative field. How much does this stuff concern you when you're just out there trying to make it work, and in the meantime, all your information is sitting on some potentially unsafe server somewhere?
I think what concerns me the most is when I wake up in the middle of the night and read these articles, and then I can't get back to sleep, and then I look like shit. But Equifax, I was just trying to pull it up real quick. They had something that came out on the news a few days ago, and people were saying, do not sign up with them to fix whatever could be the problem if you were one of the people that got your identity like out on the internet through them. Because what they do is by signing up with them, you are waiving your right for legal counsel if you need to sue them in the future. So that was something I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Tom, how did that turn out? Because weren't there conflicting reports about that?
So they had the terms of service for both their free trusted ID protection service that they were offering people, and the website EquifaxSecurity2017.com had terms that said by using these services, you waive your rights to a trial by jury, or to a court trial, and you'll go to arbitration. You also waive your right to class action. Equifax has bent over backwards since everyone started talking about that to say, we've removed those terms. They're not in there. They don't apply to people from the cybersecurity incident anymore. But it took them a while to do it. And the terms were there for a lot of people. So a lot of public interest groups are saying, I don't know that I would still trust them on this, but it is the only way to sign up with them and get credit monitoring for free. So you're kind of, well, do I trust that they mean it when they say they're not going to enforce this provision anymore or not? The bottom line is what you really need to do is go not only to Equifax, and this won't invoke the terms of service. You go to Equifax, Experian, and what's the other one? I'm blanking on it.
TransUnion.
TransUnion. Thank you, Jenny. Yeah. And freeze your credit if you're worried about this. Put a freeze on your credit. That means that nobody can check your credit unless you say it's okay. And the only way you can say it's okay is to call or go online and unfreeze it temporarily. Now, it would stop you from getting new credit cards, maybe even buying phones, anything that requires a credit check. But a freeze will keep people from being able to pretend that they're you.
Yeah. And the Enron-ness of this is what I hate the most, and I don't feel like I would ever trust a company like this again. I don't know how others would, but also you're talking about a relatively competitionless market. Like, that's not a thing where there's 50 companies all doing what Equifax is doing. Tom rattled off a few of them, but So it's not like I have a ton of other options.
The worst part, Scott, is your participation is not voluntary.
No.
They have it for, they collect information on you without your agreeing to it. And so you don't really get to have a market effect on them anyway.
Yeah. Outrageous is what I'd like to just use the word once today's episode. Probably the only chance I'll get. So there you go. Outrageous.
Let's talk about something happier. Tuesday at a press conference in Cupertino, California, Apple announced a bunch of stuff. New watch. This one has LTE built in. An Apple TV device that supports 4K and HDR. And three new iPhones with wireless charging, one of which has an OLED screen. Most of this stuff went up for pre-order this morning, so you can buy it right now. The earliest it would ship is September 22nd, but since people have started ordering it, you're probably talking about an October ship date at this point. The new OLED phone called the iPhone X doesn't go up for pre-order until October 27th, and it ships on November 3rd, and that's good because it starts at $999, because you're going to need a lot of time to save up for it.
I am an iOS user. I typically get the next phone. I'm on one of those contracts where you get a new phone every year and you just pay the monthly lease, basically. It works for me. We like it here. So the problem was last night, to do this, if you wanted to be first in line, you had to be up at 1 a.m. my time. And that sucked. I didn't want to do it. So I didn't do it and instead thought, we'll work it out. No big deal. I want an 8. I don't want the OLED thing. I'm worried about that phone. I want that to have a year or so to kind of pepper out what they're going to do with the high-end phone. That'll all work itself out. So I was going to get an 8. So today at about noon, I thought, well, I'll go look. And I can still get mine by next week. So I ordered it. I ordered and they have this, they've improved the whole process of like, are you on AT&T or Verizon? Oh, you're on AT&T. Sweet. We see you have this already. Do these three steps and boom, your new phone arrives and you just keep paying the thing you're paying. So that was really simple and easy. And I like that. I also caved, Tom. I didn't get Series 1 or 2, but I bought a watch. And it's coming to me with
LTE. You
bought
a Series 3 watch?
I did.
Did you get the one with LTE built in?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was only like, what, another 50, 60 bucks or something is the difference. So I didn't get a high-end.
$10 a month, too, or whatever. Well,
yeah, good point. But it's not, I didn't do some like high-end, you know, crazy band or anything like that. I just got the aluminum normal $399 with the LTE. And I have high hopes for it. I've seen my wife over the last year use her Series 2 and she loves it. She loves it, loves it. Turns out that thing was made for her and now we'll get to see if it's made for me. So anybody else, Julie, do you care about this stuff when this stuff comes out? Do you wait until things settle down? What do you do?
Okay. So this was my birthday present to myself in February.
Aw, very nice.
But I'm so mad because now I want the new one and I don't know what to do with this one.
Yeah.
I'm a big Apple fan, and I actually usually am up at 12:01 West Coast time on the phone. I actually 3 or 4 years ago, I stood in line at the Glendale Galleria waiting for my iPhone, whatever it was. And I got up to the front of the line, and of course I wanted the gold or whatever it was at the time. And they said, sorry, none of those came in. So I stood in line from like 4 o'clock in the morning until they opened the doors for nothing.
Oh,
but
yeah,
you know, I did a commercial for Apple back when 4S came out with Siri. So I did this little commercial with Siri years ago, and I've been an Apple fan ever since. And even though Steve Jobs has a bad reputation, personally, I think he was a genius. So
sure.
I'm hooked. I've drunk the Kool-Aid, and I'm waiting for also my iPhone 8. I'm going to go with the Plus.
Yeah, I got to go. Once you go Plus, or you can do anything over 5 inches, my opinion is I don't know how you go back to that other thing. It's impossible. I just can't do it.
I have the 6S, which is the smaller one, and I just, everybody, every time I see the better pictures, because I'm a huge photographer freak, I always want it. So I've decided I'm not going to go with the 10, only because of facial recognition. It's not, they haven't gotten, it's too new for me. I'm going to wait in a year and maybe pick it up if everything's worked out.
Sure, sure. Jenny, what's your take? How's your radar on the new phones?
You guys, my iPhone 6 was stolen 2 months ago and I had to burn my upgrade on a 7 Plus because I just didn't want to deal with getting like a burner phone and the new number and all this stuff. So while y'all are having your fun party, I'm sitting here. I have to say, when I got that 7 Plus, knowing that I was burning through whatever was coming down the pike in 2 months, I felt trapped. It was the first time ever that I felt trapped in Apple's ecosystem, and that the joy, the sheer joy that I felt all these years with new Apple products, new MacBook Pro, new, you know, iPhone, new Apple Watch that I got to try when Tom tried it. Like, I haven't felt tech joy in a long time. And you know what the first thing was that brought it back for me? Snapchat spectacles.
Oh, look at you.
Nice.
They're like,
oh, my Lord.
It was like the first thing in years where I saw it and I felt like tech delight. And so I'm going to sit here with my Snapchat spectacles.
What are they?
They record video.
Yeah, they record video, and then they send this stuff to your Snapchat account on your phone, and you look not that weird with them because they just look like goofy sunglasses. Like, the difference between this and
I got out of a vending machine. It was like the greatest day of my life.
Wow.
Anyway, I think I'll probably get the LTE watch because that's the whole point of the watch. Maybe not right away because I'm still suffering through the stolen iPhone device.
That's such a bummer, and you never found it?
Oh, no, I saw it driving up La Cienega Boulevard until I wiped it. I was like, well, maybe.
Like, tracking it?
I was tracking it from, it was stolen from a doctor's office, you guys. Anyway, there's no greater shame.
Sucks.
So whatever, it's fine.
Oh, that sucks. Next time you go to that doctor's office, steal their heart monitor or something cool
right?
like that. Yeah.
The heck?
Run down the street.
Yeah, just get them back for that. Well,
those are cool.
Yeah, they are pretty neat. I mean, you know, they are what they are. They kind of don't do, you know, they're not the next phase of what we're going to wear on our face to do our world work, but they are kind of cool for telling people what you're doing.
Conversation piece.
Sure. Sure, why not? Yeah. Tom, I didn't ask you, what are you doing? Are you going to get a thing or what are you
going to
do?
Yeah, well, I am going to get the iPhone 10 just because I want to be able to report on it on Daily Tech News Show. But if I were not doing that, I probably would hold off on it too, to wait and see how it all shakes out. And so I ordered an Apple TV 4K. But again, I kind of did that because I'm doing that show Cord Killers where I talk about cutting the cord and using all those kind of devices. So
yeah.
I think if I were into the watch, the Series 3 with the LTE built in would probably be enough to nudge me into getting one, if I wanted one. And the other stuff, you know, if I have a 4K television, get a Roku. It's a lot cheaper and it gives you all the same apps. And iPhone 8, if you've got the 6 and you're like feeling like, you know, I really need an upgrade, which is exactly what my wife did. She did exactly the same thing as you, Julia. She said, I've got an older phone and I want a newer camera. And the iPhone 8 Plus has the great camera. So that's what she got.
Yep.
So I have a question for you, Tom, real quick.
Yeah.
So I was going between the 10 and the 8 Plus, and I was going to go for the 10 only because it's smaller, you can put it, and the full screen. But
yeah.
Then I was watching a review on it, and they were comparing the two, and they were saying that the 10, even though it's screen to screen, because it goes screen to screen, it cuts off some of the video or some of whatever you're watching.
Yeah.
I have a feeling
that
that's not going to be as big of a deal. It's not going to cut off the video. I was actually looking at the developer video about how they're going to handle this in the programming of the apps. And essentially what they do is they just limit where any app can put information right at the edge of those sensors. So even though you've got screen to the side, that screen is kind of wasted space.
Yeah.
So that's the worst you could say is there's a little bit of a waste of space over there, but I don't think information is going to end up going under the sensor.
Yeah, the big complaint I've heard, and they showed this when they were demonstrating it, is when you're going to watch YouTube or something, or you know Netflix, whatever, will we have that divot sticking out? And by the video presentations, it looks like you will. It will sort of overlay on top of what would normally be video. Now, my guess is people will get used to it that really want this thing. For me, I don't know why it's not just that's the one place they decided not to go edge to edge because they can't. And I would have been totally fine with that. More like the Note 8, in my opinion, would have been the way to go. So that's kind of actually why it held me back. Because beyond that, the large screen but smaller size, OLED is a really nice technology. All that stuff aside, they're kind of not that different technically, these two phones, the 8 Plus and this. So for me, the 8 Plus just, I don't know, it makes sense until they suss that out. Because this feels like the kind of thing, kind of like AntennaGate, where they had the weird 4S antenna problems. That design was kind of cool looking, but eventually that went the way of something else. And I think that's probably what'll happen here. So we'll see.
That's what I'm going to wait a year.
Yeah.
Get that.
All right.
Good idea.
On to the big news in the film world this week, or at least in the Star Wars film world this week. Lucasfilm has replaced Colin Trevorrow as director of Star Wars Episode 9 with J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams will also co-write the film with Chris Terrio. Terrio also wrote Argo, as well as Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
Ah, well, that second one makes me worry, but I liked Argo.
But he wrote Argo.
Yeah, Argo's good. I glass half full. So, Jenny, I got an email as a follow-up to this. We were going to read it later. I'll read it now. It's from Lemonhead Jr., who said, I heard Jenny's coming back on. What does she make of all these Star Wars hirings and firings? Because this is the second of this sort of thing that's just happened. The standalone Han Solo movie got a new director, a new old director, is Ron Howard. Taking the place of those two dudes, what did the Lego movie? I can't think of their names at the moment. So what is this all?
Lord Miller?
Yeah. Do you worry about this, or is this just Kathleen Kennedy kicking trash and not taking anything less than what is best for the franchise?
I think Kathleen Kennedy is a badass mother filmmaker. I think that there's been a long GD history of big, powerful male executives telling people where to go and what to say. And the fact that Kathleen Kennedy can now do it with the biggest, most successful property, probably in entertainment history, fills me with a kind of schadenfreudenly delight that I think only Julia would be able to truly understand. And therefore, I throw it over to her.
Well, first of all, I've been putting out to the universe that I want to be on a Star Wars series or a Star Wars movie or a Star Trek series or whatever. So I've got my little network out, hoping that someday it'll deliver and I'll be, you know.
Sure.
Anyway, I just finished a short film called Passage, and it was such a joy to work with a mainly female cast and crew. And I've never done that before, because whenever you go on set, whether it's a big movie or a small movie, a TV show, there's usually very few people who are women. It's usually the makeup artist and the wardrobe person and whoever else acting wise is in it. So it's really refreshing to work. And it's a very different vibe working with women. And then, of course, I did a Producer Guild competition right after that. And literally, it was two women on the whole set of like 50 people. So,
wow.
I'm so happy and thrilled that there are more women. That we've got a long ways to go, especially directors and writers and people behind the camera, but we got a long ways to go to get to any equality. But it's nice to see women in strong positions.
Sure.
And who can have some power of say. So yeah, I'm thrilled.
So Tom, I have this one concern, and I'd love you to address it. J.J. Abrams, he's making, basically it's a J.J. sandwich now, this trilogy.
Okay.
Maiden co-wrote the first one, directed it rather, and was a producer. Same with this final one now. So what we originally thought we were going to get was J.J. and his vision, Rian Johnson and his vision, which by all accounts went swimmingly, and everyone loved that experience, and I can't wait to see it this year. And then the third one was supposed to be Trevorrow bringing whatever he brings, and it would be a third sort of taste. Not unlike the original trilogy, George Lucas, old man McGillicuddy, and I can't remember the third guy or the second guy. But anyway.
Marquand was the third
guy. Yeah, there you go. Now we're not going to get that. We're going to get a very Abrams packaged bookend to this thing. And something in me, and I don't know what it is saying this, is a little worried about that, because 7 was a little safe. It felt like to me. Story-wise, we've talked about this before, and you guys have certainly discussed this on Let's Talk About Star Wars, so this is nothing new to anybody, but I'm curious how did that land on you? Did you go, oh, thank goodness, the returning, he saved us again, or did you go, oh, all right, that's the safe choice, because...
I'm cautiously positive. I mean, any Star Wars movie is a challenge, and I think J.J. Abrams met that challenge with great aplomb. The criticisms of Force Awakens all came in the wake of a great sigh of relief after people realized, it's not bad. It's good. And then they felt comfortable enough to start going, well, could you really shoot something across the sky? Could you really dig a trench that big? And I think it feels a lot like the original, after the worry was that it wasn't going to be enough like the original. So I feel like those criticisms, they're all natural, but they all come from the place of he satisfied the fears and made people comfortable enough to criticize. If I were to worry about something, it's that with Star Trek, he nailed the first one. And then the second one came out to varying reactions. Some people liked it. Some people didn't. Some people didn't like the fact that he hid a character's particular nature. And so I hope that he's able to avoid that trap, and possibly having Rian Johnson in between is exactly what he needs to do that. Also, he's working on Rails. I mean, this is the Skywalker saga. There's a lot of things that just are determined for you. Darth Vader existed. He was Luke's father. Spoiler alert, if you didn't know that. And so you have to live within that world. He also set in motion Rey and Finn, and I kind of love that he's going to be the guy to bring him home.
Yeah, I agree with that. So tell Tom, me what, yeah, go ahead.
Tom, where would you go if you wanted to hear a much longer discussion about J.J. Abrams versus anyone else?
Well, I would go to letstalkaboutstarwars.com because I'm on the show and I got to hear the wisdom of Garrett Weinzierl and Jenny Josephson explain a lot of this stuff to me and help me come to terms with all of this.
Sure. I call you, you're not Jenny anymore. You're J, you're J Pimp is what I call you now, because you
every item is going to have a Josephson related plug.
I like it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I am stoked to hear about the Star Trek news because, hey, maybe one day we'll see Julia on that show.
Oh, yeah. No, anybody who has any influence on that, make that happen. We would all like to see that because we love Star Trek here. And Star Trek has posted a video of composer Jeff Russo discussing creating the main theme for the new Star Trek Discovery show. The theme borrows elements from the original series theme. And Jenny, I know you love the music of these kinds of shows and movies. And this was one of the things you wanted to make sure we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had so many chills listening to that, like all the chills. And I think it's one of those things where I was trying to ignore the coming of Star Trek Discovery because, God, it irked me that it's on a streaming service that I'm now going to have to purchase. But I'm a sucker for the music. It gets me every time.
Yeah.
And it's, I know I'm going to watch.
It's a long, it's been a long road getting from there to here.
I'll sing it. Don't you worry. But one other thing I would say is that if you're like me and you absolutely love TV and film scored music, I just watched the best ever documentary and it's called Score. Mm. Go look it up on your streaming services. It's all about the composers that make the movie and TV music that you love. Go watch it. It made me so happy.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. No, there it is. Oh, I think I saw this. Oh, this
it's
was
so
good.
Good.
Yeah. No, this was good. And it had they spent a bunch of time on Mike. Oh, what's his name? Law and Order theme, everything. He did all themes. Can't think of it. Mike Post. There's an amazing whole stretch about Mike Post in there. Totally great movie. Score, a music film music documentary. Good recommendation.
It's been a while. Yeah. It was all about the people who do play all the background music and they do all the scoring for the TV shows, and they're the same people over the years that kept being brought in. Is that the one?
It might be. I mean, I know there was a bunch on there about Howard Shore and some of his TV work and then his film work. He died, right? Yeah, too soon, I think, even. Anyway, Howard Shore is awesome. I love the music of things, so I'm with Jenny on this, but I would just like to request that she never sing that horrible Enterprise theme to me. Don't ever sing that.
I want to hear it now.
Because they really misstepped on that, Jenny. They screwed up, didn't they? Come on, admit it. Did we lose Jenny?
Did we lose Jenny? Is she just refusing to admit?
She looks
that
like
you're
she's
right.
Frozen. Oh, I think we lost Jenny. Oh, well, she'll be back. Don't worry, everybody. She'll be back. She's got the link. We'll get her back in here. Julia, Star Trek, it's going to be fun, right? Looking forward to a new series?
Yes, and I cannot wait. Actually, I want to go back to the music only because she sent the link for the music video, and I loved it. I already tweeted it out, so I don't know. I like the music.
Very nice. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Feel.
Jenny, you're back.
No, absolutely.
She's back.
It took a long time for her to get from there to here. Good job. I hate
I'll
that song.
It, Scott.
Listen, here's what I want you to do.
Okay,
if there are people out there who are fans of, oh, there it is. Oh my gosh, it's so bad. Listen though,
if you love it,
if you love it, here's what you need to do. You got to go listen to the episode where they went to, they did the whole Spock has a beard thing, alternate universe thing. Now that was the score. Totally bad. Yep. A awesome. That should be the score for the entire show. Instead, the very next week, it was. It's so bad.
It's just, it's not bad. That bad. It's just not Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just doesn't feel like Star Trek. Yeah.
It's also bad. It's just bad.
Just got to have faith of the heart, guys.
Yeah, it's faith of the heart.
That's right.
And the montage is great. They just needed a cool orchestrated thing that's reminiscent
of Star
Trek.
Yeah, because they have the Spirit of St. Louis and the original Enterprise carrier and all of that.
You got astronauts walking around in old footage and Kennedy making a speech. I'm so glad Tom can do that.
All right, let's finish off with another fun story. Ryan Gosling had previously told GQ that Harrison Ford punched him accidentally while filming a scene for Blade Runner 2049. GQ has now, in journalistic fashion, followed up with Ford, who said Ryan Gosling's face was where it should not have been, adding, you know, I threw about 100 punches in the shooting of it, and I only hit him once. Gosling also told GQ that Ford brought a bottle of scotch to his room afterwards as an apology. Ford poured Gosling a glass, but then kept the bottle. When asked about this, Ford told GQ, what did he effing expect, the whole bottle?
That sword belongs in a museum, Dad. I love cranky Harrison Ford, but it's nice to see that he followed up with a nice bottle of wine. That's been a great
story. Jenny, you want to make sure we talked about this. It's a hilarious story.
And the thing is we all know Harrison Ford so well, and especially 75-year-old Harrison Ford's voice, that like I can just hear it on replay in my head, and it's the greatest thing in the world. Because Harrison Ford has, I would say, one of the best dry humor delivery ever. I mean, he's just always mean, but he always has the wink and just like, and then there were like, even you should really go read this article, because there were more quotes where he just like was like, Gosling's a mousketeer, and he's it's just the greatest thing since sliced bread. So go read it. You'll have a lot of fun. And I love Harrison Ford. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I just love him.
It's pretty great. We don't have to talk about his Carrie Fisher thing again, but his responses to some of that, I wish it was a little more forthcoming. However, he's Harrison Ford. It's Harrison Ford. He's the guy. If you cut his photo, I don't know if you guys have ever tried that. You split his photo vertically in half, no matter where the shot was taken. One half of his face is pissed, and the other half of his face is super stoked. No, just try it. It's awesome. And I don't mean it. I don't mean it's like stroke like or anything mean like that. I don't mean like that. But it's just, he has two expressions. Like many of us, we're not all symmetrical beings. You split it right down the middle, and it is a hoot, because if you cover one side, like, oh, he's so mad at me right now. And if you cover the other side, you're like, he is stoked to be here and he loves me. So go try that yourself.
He was on a illusionist show, and with levitation and all that stuff, and it freaked him out, and it was hysterical to watch.
I saw that. It was not Chris Angel, but the other one that's kind of street magic, but. Oh, yeah, David Blaine. So he had David Blaine in his kitchen, and he did something that made Harrison Ford completely lose his mind, like freaked him out.
I think it was that trick where you take the $100 bill and you read out the number, and then it ended up in the lemon or something.
Yeah, it was in like a piece of fruit.
Lemon. Yeah,
a piece of fruit he opened, and it was in this fruit. He just could not. I mean, it was great.
Out.
Yeah.
And then kicked him out.
Yeah.
Off my Blaine.
Our friend Brian Brushwood has a great story about that. You have to milk it out of him.
Okay. I want to ask him. Also, Jenny said, get off my Blaine, which means we now have a title for today's show. Get off my Blaine. Very well done.
Hey, you.
Get off of my Blaine. We got to thank our subredditors who send us great stories to talk about on the show. Tom, who contributed this week?
Well, yeah, Jenny and Julia both suggested stories we talked about today. But, of course, we always take a look at currentgeek.reddit.com. And big thanks to Mazehead, I Am Sci-Fi, and Gavra, who all submitted stories that we used in the show.
Very nice. All right, we're going to take a minute in the show and talk to our guests about some of the cool projects they're working on right now. Julia, what do you got going on these days? I hear you got something in the works.
Oh, I've got lots in the works. I just finished the Passage short film, and we just submitted it to Sundance and Idlewild Film Festivals yesterday. So that's cool. It looks really good. I helped produce it, which was it's a feat in itself. And I just made the list of all the Oscar qualifying film festivals it's going to get submitted to. And I have another one called Success that's going to be screened over at Warner Brothers next week. And I've got another one. I've got actually a really beautiful two films that I did in December. One of them is called Sand Angels. Mm. And today it got submitted to Sundance. And it's a very indie, wonderful, I love it. It's a really wonderful feature. And the other one's called The League of Legend Keeper Shadows. And I pop up at the end, but it's going to be a trilogy. And the second one, I am like Luke Skywalker in the next one.
Whoa. So,
yay.
That's
so I've got a lot of projects coming on and I've got a ton more lined up. So knock on wood. I'm really fortunate to be working as much as I am.
No, that's cool. I was looking at your IMDb and there is a ton of completed, announced, in production, pre-production, post-production, announced, announced. Like you're keeping very busy and that's great.
Look what happens when you get older. Woo,
who would have known? Yeah. Well, you're just slightly younger than Tom and I, so I feel very old today. Anyway, well, that's awesome. Anywhere on Twitter people can find you? You got like a Twitter account they can follow, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I do. MS Julia Parker, Ms. Julia Parker, and I have an Instagram account, which is MS Julia P, and I have a fan page on Facebook. I think it's Julia Parker Actress or Actress Julia Parker. Mm. So, or you can find me on IMDb. So, yeah, I'm all over the place.
All
just put
over
in Julia
the
Parker
place.
Actress, and
that's awesome.
It all shows up.
Jenny, just to be clear, yeah. Everyone out there, everyone on this show is 25.
Yeah. No, yeah, we wanted it.
Except for Tom, who's 26.
Yeah.
Hence the gray in the beard. 26 will do that to you.
Let me cover mine up. Jenny, what are you up to these days? It's been a while since we talked on this show.
I know. Hi, my name is Jenny Josephson. I work for the public radio show Marketplace, producing a podcast called Make Me Smart with Kai Rizdahl and Molly Wood. And you should listen to it because it's really fun, especially because in one of our recent episodes, we talked to Tim Leong, who is a guy who has the coolest job ever. He wrote the Star Wars super graphic book. Mm. And I was so enamored of his work. It's basically like data visualizations of all the data you can collect from Star Wars movies. It's so good. And I was so inspired that I made him an audio graphic where we audioized it. So if you want to hear that, you can go to makemesmart.org. And also, I do a podcast about Star Wars with one Tom Merritt and Garrett Weinzierl. And I have a couple of other things in the work, and I swear to the all holy podcast God that I'm bringing back Tell It Anyway soon. I promise, I promise, I promise.
Wow.
You better mean that promise.
Yeah, you better. I love that show. I miss that show. All right.
Me
well,
too.
Good. And Tom, I didn't know you were the all-time God, podcast God she's praying to. Is that who that she's talking about?
He's the all-podcast father.
Yeah, that's what she's talking about.
No, no.
Because he's 26.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I'm so old.
Yeah, he's seasoned. Well, that's great. We will, once again, at the end of the show, remind people where they can find you both. Hello, Current Geek listeners. How are you? I know you're doing great. Let me tell you about what's going on here. I'm here to talk to you about RX Bar. Oh, yeah. RX Bar is supporting Current Geek, their whole food protein bar with no BS. Made with 100% whole ingredients, they're made with a few simple clean ingredients where every ingredient serves a purpose. For example, egg whites are a main source of its protein and is easy for your body to absorb. They're gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free with no sugar added, no artificial colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, or fillers. You guys may have seen some of these at a gym or something, and they're great. Great tasting with a variety of flavors. They come in 11 different flavors in all. And if you like sweet or savory, chocolate or fruity flavors, there's an RX bar for you. Real food ingredients actually taste really good. You can actually taste these things, the real fruit, the spices like sea salt. Ideal for breakfast on the go, snack in the office, throwing it in your bag for the plane, your backpack for a bike ride or hike or pre or post gym workout. All of that stuff. The blueberry ones are killing me. They're so good. Those are my favorites. What would be yours? Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/currentgeek and use the promo code currentgeek. That's rxbar.com/currentgeek and the promo code currentgeek. Oh, the pop quiz. quiz. We got to do this. Check this out.
America scores and wins.
Tom with the win. Hey, it's time for us to play the pop quiz. This is where we play a little game to test you guys in areas of your expertise. If you get an answer correct, you'll hear this. If you get it wrong, you'll hear this. And it's just for fun. Tom keeps score the whole time. And at the end, we'll see how you both did in comparison to one another. We're going to start with the way I have it listed, which is, let's see. Jenny, you are first. Are you ready for your topic?
I'm a little nervous, but go ahead.
All right, here it is. Jenny's topic is Star Wars Episode 2, The Clone Wars.
Attack of the Clones?
Attack of the Clones. Or yeah, I didn't say Clone Wars. Attack of the Clones is what I meant. It's a terrible...
Let's talk about that Star Wars.
It's a bad,
let's not.
It's a bad movie. Here is your first question. What is the name of Owen's father who marries Anakin's mother?
Lars.
You are... I don't know. Tom, you decide. Klieg no, Lars, that's last
you
name.
You didn't specify first name. His name is Lars.
That's true. That's true. I should have been more specific. All right, you get the point. Who was the...
What was his name?
Oh, Klieg. C-L-I-E-G-G, I think is how you say it.
All right.
Who was the assassin that Obi-Wan and Anakin chased through Coruscant but was killed by Jango Fett before revealing any information to Obi-Wan or Anakin?
She was a shape-shifting lady.
You are correct about that. That is not her name, though. It is Zam Wessel.
I don't know, Scott, you said who. You didn't say what is the name of. So I'm going to award a point there.
All right. Julie, what you're witnessing is a important part of how Tom scores, so keep that in mind. When your questions come. Here's your next one. What planet was the clone trooper cloning facility located on?
Geonosis.
That is incorrect.
What?
Kamino is the correct answer. Kamino.
Oh, I wasn't thinking. Oh!
Tom, does she get a point because she wasn't thinking?
You are correct. You were not thinking.
I knew that was coming. All right. What beast does Jango Fett kill shortly before
Wait. Oh, it was the other side. All
yeah,
right,
the
sorry.
Other side. It's all right, Kamino. What beast does Jango Fett kill shortly before he is killed by Mace Windu? Spoiler.
A big, poorly CGI-generated beast.
Correct.
It's called a reek.
You guys, I hate this movie.
I know you do. It's called a reek, and it's not Game of Thrones reek, a very different reek.
Reek, it rhymes with meek.
There you go. Sausage. Anyway, next final question. Who suggested a vote to give Palpatine emergency powers?
Misa, pretty sure that it is Jar Jar Binks, and I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
I'm so
sorry. You actually lose a half point for doing that voice.
That's fine. I'll take it.
It says here, like a dummy, he sealed the fate of the entire galaxy. What a dumb thing that was. Oh, my gosh.
But he ended up so sad.
It's so bad, though. All right. There you go. Tom will score you here in a second. But before that, Julia, your questions are in the area of Italian Greyhound trivia.
Ooh, I like this topic.
Do you own an Italian Greyhound or more than one?
I've had three in the past, and they're the most amazing dogs ever.
I have a dog who is a part Minpin, so very small, miniature pincher, and then half an Italian Greyhound, and we love her. She's the greatest dog I ever owned.
She's super gentle and kind of like very connected to you.
Yes.
And not like a dog.
She's very sweet. She's like my person, and I would bawl my eyes out if anything happened to her. She also pees when she's nervous, but that's the Minpin part, I think. Anyway. Here's your questions. What division of hounds are Italian Greyhounds in?
Toy.
You are, let me check.
Toy.
Incorrect. Toy. The answer is Sighthound Group. Sighthound.
I used to show them. They are actually in the toy group.
Okay, Tom, you want to break?
I'm going to believe Julia over Iceworm in this case.
I am
Ice
too.
The guy who makes our questions, because she used to show them. Okay,
yeah, I agree. That's the right call. Next question. They were popular in Renaissance. Oh, I screwed this up. Sorry.
Yeah, they were,
I was going to say, where did the breed get its name? Oh, my Lord.
You guys are so much fun.
We should just give her this one because I almost said Renaissance Italy.
Scott?
The question was, where did the breed get its name?
Yeah, and she already answered it, so she gets the point.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, I missed that part. There you go. She got it. Next question. The breed is over 2,000 years old. Where did they originate?
They did not originate in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
They originated in France, I believe.
Let's double check the France. It says Greece and Turkey. But I would still take anything you say.
We're going to give a half point for correctly identifying not from Italy, because it's in the name.
Yeah. Greece and Turkey? Why isn't it just one of those?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, Greece and Turkey used to all be kind of mishmashed together.
Yeah, and if your turkey is greasy, you've cooked it wrong. Next question. What 2003 film featured an Italian greyhound named Nelly? That one's ridiculous.
I have no idea.
Me either.
Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones.
Would have improved it.
The movie is called Good Boy, which I've never heard of. Good Boy. Some sort of
which
movie.
Which I haven't either. Yeah.
But you correctly answered, I have no idea. So there's a point.
Good job.
Half a point.
There you go. What was the name of Catherine the Great's Italian Greyhound? Actual Italian Greyhound.
Ooh. Beauty?
You are incorrect. It is Zamir. Zamir. The Italian
Zamir
Greyhound.
Zamir in some languages is translated as Judy. So we're going to give a half a point for that.
All right. Fine. I like that just fine. All right, now Jenny's thinking, oh man, I may lose. So what is, how'd they do? They're done, how'd they do?
Well, after taking all the rules into account, the complex rules of this scoring system, we end up with a final score of Julia 4, Jenny 4.
Oh, man, tied. Well done, you guys.
I love it.
Yeah, that's incredible. Most
hey,
people.
I've got a quick story real quick for you guys.
Sure.
An Italian Greyhound story.
Yeah.
Okay, so the King of Prussia, which may be where I should have guessed where they came from, used to go into battle, and he had Italian greyhounds, and he loved them so much that he would carry them into battle under his armor. And when he died, he had them buried with him. He loved them that much.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
And because they are so friendly, a lot of the kings and queens used to have them as pets, but they would also use them to kill people because they'd put poison collars on them and then send them off to whoever they wanted to have die. And when they went to pet them, they'd prick their hands with poison and then go.
Wow. So they were just so cute that people are like, oh, I can't not pet you. And then they're done.
That's it. Dude, the end.
I could murder everyone at the Grove with my Pomeranian like that.
There you go.
I haven't seen
Which
your Pomeranian.
I'm not going to do.
I haven't seen your Pomeranian in a while.
That is not a threat. That is just
a hypothetical.
No. Yeah.
How is that dog? I haven't seen him in a while.
He's the best. He's currently at work at Disney Stuck in the Middle, which is another show you should be watching.
All right. I'm in. He's currently at work.
I just rescued a little dog about a year ago. Oh. Found him on the streets of Carson. He was duct taped mouth, tarred ears, 3 pounds.
Oh, Jesus.
Really sad.
That's terrible.
Good. No, this is a great story because you got rescued.
Well,
right?
Yeah. No, it has a good ending. Yeah.
But now he is chipped and fixed and weighs like 4 pounds heavier. And I have to this day never thought I would have an Italian Chihuahua.
Oh, fun. I always wanted one.
So if you heard him barking earlier.
Yeah, they bark. They like to do that. That's the thing they're into. Yeah. Jenny, you okay there with your glasses?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Well, on that note, we're going to end things. We love dogs. Everyone here is a dog lover. This is the best.
Oh, yeah. No, we just rescued a German Shepherd 2 months ago.
Yeah, my dog, the dog I mentioned, my Mix is a rescue. She came to us with kennel cough and a poorly botched chipping and fixing, and we fixed all that. Yeah, she's good now.
I didn't know that about the botched chipping and fixing.
Yeah, now she's the happiest creature on the earth. I don't know. Yeah. Some new guy at the kennel. Who knows? Oh, I was so annoyed. I couldn't help but adopt her. It makes me want all dogs forever, but I can't do it. Anyway, hey, we're about done. Thanks everybody for being here. What a wonderful time we've had. One more time, Julia, tell people how they can find you on the internet and track down your good work.
My name is Julia Parker, and you can find me on Twitter at MSJuliaParker or on Instagram at MSJuliaP or on Facebook at Julia Parker Actress.
Very nice.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, for sure. Jenny. Oh, yeah. And if you're here in, have fun while you're here in Sundance if you're coming here. It's always, this is where I live.
Oh.
I live just outside Sundance. It's a wonderful place, so you should go.
I've been twice, but I'm hoping that this is a third time.
All right. I will try. We'll try not to have so much snow if you come this time. It'll be fine.
No, I like the snow.
Oh, okay, definitely. Good. I will make sure there's tons of extra snow.
Oh.
It'll be hard to get up to the canyon. That'll be the plan. Jenny.
Those glasses.
Yeah, no kidding. Jenny Josephson with the glasses. Tell us more about where people can track you down, because I know you like to plug things. J-plug.
I'm always spouting off on Twitter. At JENNIEJ23. There's letstalkaboutstarwars.com. And then if you really want to follow a cute Pomeranian on Instagram, I mean, I've plugged everyone else in the family. I might as well plug the dog. It's aww_pom, P-O-M. And he is a delight, and he lives a very good life.
I'm sure. Also a, pampered.
A hand-me-down. Yep. Yeah.
And I'm not going to call you J-Pimp. I'm going to call you
J-Pom.
Yeah, there you go. That's even better.
I'm J-Pom.
Yeah, because J-Pimp isn't very nice. J-Plug. J-Plug.
J-Plug.
That's your new rapper name.
I've done like the triple play of plugs.
Yeah, you're the new, that's your new rap name.
For the plug cycle.
Yeah, when you go on tour for your rap album, you can use that name. It'll be fine.
J-Plug.
I allow it. Tom Merritt, anything else before you go see Hamilton? What's going on?
Sure. No, you can find me walking Ray the Dog and Sawyer the Border Collie, and you can follow them on Twitter at Ray Dog Rivera and Sawyer the Dog.
Very nice. Look at us all following our pets. I don't have accounts, social accounts for my dog. Maybe I need to do that. Big thanks to everybody for being here. If you'd like more shows like this and more of the content I produce, you can find that over at frogpants.com. And you can also find this show at currentgeek.com. Send us your emails to currentgeek@gmail.com. Don't forget our Reddit, which Tom mentioned earlier. That's at currentgeek.reddit.com. And find us on Twitter, Ace to Tech, Scott Johnson, and Current Geek. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we review a recent lawsuit filed by the makers of the iconic Rubik's Cube against competitors, as it reveals how IP protection can extend for many decades in some contexts. A couple weeks ago, Rubik's Brand Limited, the company behind current sales and marketing of the Rubik's Cube puzzle, sued big companies Dunkin' Toys and Toys R Us in federal court in New York for a series of claims related to alleged knockoff cube puzzles made and sold by the latter. These claims include trademark infringement, false designation of origin, trademark dilution, and unfair business practice under state law. There are some differences between the products. While the traditional Rubik's Cube has black background behind the facets and generally square facet corners, the competitor design has white background and rounded edge facets. The competitor design sells for a cheaper price as well, according to Toys R Us's website. But in all other ways, the 3x3 block puzzles are functionally the same. And those changes, according to Rubik's, are not sufficient to avoid infringement of the IP still pending on the original Rubik's Cube. You may be asking yourself, how could a functional puzzle like the Rubik's Cube still be covered with it being widely available since the 1980s? This illustrates the difference between patent protection and trademark or design mark protection. The patents in the US and elsewhere on the Rubik's Cube expired in 2000, so from a patent perspective, on the general mechanics of a rotating face, cube-like puzzle, this puzzle's in the public domain. However, companies can also bolster or make fallback protection on products like this by filing trademark applications. Trademarks can be filed on product names, but design marks are also possible if the product appearance itself is sufficiently distinctive to identify to a consumer the source of the goods. Rubik's secured two U.S. design marks that cover a black cube, having 9 color patches on each of its faces, with the patches having the colors red, white, blue, green, yellow, and orange. Note that the design includes color identifying features in this context, rather than the general mechanics of the cube puzzle, as that would be what patent covers. As long as Rubik's continues to use that design by selling it in commerce or licensing it, these trademark rights can be maintained indefinitely. So while this is narrower coverage than the patent claims, it continues on and creates the basis for lawsuits like this one. So how does this come out? The design mark infringement case has some merit. Even though the knockoff is a white cube instead of a black cube, the colors chosen for the facets are the same 6 colors, and one could argue that this is the core essence of the design mark. It probably comes down to survey evidence on whether consumers are likely to be confused about the Dunkin' version being authorized or from Rubik's, and that's at least plausible. I personally would feel much more confident in Dunkin's chances had it changed one or two of the facet colors on the competitor puzzle as well. The bottom line is, just because a patent expires and puts a product in the public domain, that does not mean the creator has lost all potential rights. It's wise to check for and design around later patent filings on further developments, as well as any trademark or copyright registrations, before bringing a product to market. Otherwise, you could be stuck in a Rubik's Cube of legalese and court orders. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.